everybody listening to the Indie Corner Radio. I'm your host, Jonathan Moody, and I have an awesome guest tonight. This is the first time I've done this in a long time. I used to do this back in my blog talk days for the Independent Corner. So I've decided to bring it back, and I'm interviewing a podcaster himself, Neil Jones. How are you doing, Neil?
I am good, thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Huh, you're very welcome. So Neil, I've followed for a while because he's done a lot of interviews himself with some really big names, and we'll probably get into a few of them later. But he's got a show that I love and adore called Without Your Head. And I've always wanted to chat with you and actually kind of pick your brain on different things, you know. So I guess here we go. To start with, how long have you been podcasting?
Since 2005. I don't think it was even called podcasting then. So it was like pre-podcast. But at that time, we just called it internet radio. But since 2005, so it's been 15 years.
Was that Without Your Head, or was that another show?
It was In Your Head, which is a wrestling podcast. And how Without Your Head started was that October we did a Halloween special. And we didn't know what to call it. So one of the people on the show, Ron Hex, he said, we'll call it Without Your Head. And then the next year, 2006, we started doing Without Your Head because I had a lot of fun with it and I love horror movies. And we decided to keep the name Without Your Head.
Do you know what month you started Without Your Head?
Well, October 2005 was really a Halloween special of In Your Head, but the actual first, let me look this up. I can look it up real quick. The first real episode of Without Your Head. I know the guest was Sid Haig, which was pretty cool.
Nice.
Let me go here. It was September 2006.
Wow, that's really cool because that's actually very close to when I started podcasting.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because I think it was October of 2006. I know that's the first test show that we did. I think a week before then, this was like October 25th, 2006 was like the first test show. And then the first one, like the first thing that got me into it was a friend of mine was doing, well, a friend at the time, was doing a podcast, and he invited people on to just come check it out and everything.
Right.
And I ended up interviewing one of the guys there that I'm still friends with. And, you know, and people just kept telling me, why don't you do your own? So I started my own. And then that guy got kicked out of Blog Talk Radio for causing a lot of trouble. And really? I continued.
Is he still around at all? This guy that got kicked off Blog Talk?
I don't think so. He
went rogue.
Yeah, he kind of, I don't know if he's even doing any more podcasting. I think he gave it up. He was doing it to do pranks on people and goof off and be basically an internet troll on a radio. You know? And right. That's kind of what he got kicked out of for. I mean, I won't say his name or anything, give him any credit, but, we became less and less friends after the years of him just like, you know, causing a lot of trouble. And he knows who he is. Like if he listens to this, he'll be like, I know, you know what I mean? And anybody who knew that time period and everything. But I do remember my first guest was not Sid Haig. Years later, I got him on one of my shows. But before he unfortunately passed away. I had the Canadian filmmaker Brett Kelly on my show. So that was really cool.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So, and he came on as like, because this was MySpace, right? So I was promoting it on MySpace. If any of the kids are listening right now, they might not have a clue what MySpace really is. I wrote on my MySpace wall and said I was looking for people who wanted to call in for my first show. And I wasn't actually expecting anyone to call in, and he did later. So,
oh, that's cool. Yeah. MySpace. I mean, that's how we got a lot of the first couple of years guests. Cause the second guest was Adam Green, and it was right before Hatchet was coming out. And I used to talk to him on MySpace. That's how, you know, I got him to be on the show.
Oh, yeah. No, I had Adam Green on the Independent Corner back when he was promoting Spiral. So
right. Yeah, I had him back on because Spiral's a really underrated movie of his. Everyone really likes the Hatchet movies and the Frozen movie, but no one ever talks about Spiral, and I think that's a really underrated Adam Green movie.
I almost feel like he doesn't even talk about it much, you know?
No, I don't think he does.
I think it's because there just isn't
that it's a lot much different than his other stuff.
Right. Well, it kind of reminds me a little bit of Frozen, mm-hmm. you know, in the sense of like, you know, the feeling of dread and the feeling of, you know, it's not like Hatchet, you know?
No. Yeah, because Hatchet's like definitely a throwback slasher, you know, fun movie. And Spiral's more like kind of like a Hitchcock movie.
Yeah, I
liked it a lot.
Well, I liked it a lot because it showed Joel David Moore as like a regular, you know, really good actor. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like he always gets more of like the comedic, silly.
Yeah,
role.
He's just like he's the comic relief in a lot of the stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this time he's an actual actor in the movie.
Yeah, he actually shows off his acting talent, and I love that. But yeah, so you've had some, as I said, you had some great guests, and just from the get-go, you had Sid Haig. I mean, that's pretty much like, at first, right after that, you should be like going crazy, because I remember, I think the first like big guest that I got was Megan Berwick from Salute Your Shorts. Okay. And I once again, MySpace saved the day. I like messaged her thinking she would not. She was like ZZ on Salute Your Shorts. And right. I like gave her my phone number saying, you know, if you're interested, let me know. You can give me a call here, blah, blah, blah. And then I get a call from her and I'm like, what? You know, like it was my first like thing of like, right, oh crap, right. This can actually be something.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it was nerve wracking to be the first guest too. But I was glad he's like a really down to earth guy. Actually, Sid Haig, which you might not. Yeah, well, you've talked to him, but people who never got to meet him or anything might not think that, because I think he's kind of an intimidating guy, just by his looks. But like if you meet him, he's like a super nice guy. So, you know, right away it was a big guest and a really cool guy. So. I'm really lucky, honestly, looking back, you know, if it wasn't such a big guest and such a good guy, I don't know if, you know, if I would have continued the show.
Really? You think you
would? I probably would. I mean, well, I was also still doing In Your Head, the wrestling show. So, I don't know. I think probably if it was a bad experience, maybe I wouldn't have done as many, but I don't know. But it was definitely good to have a guy that was very nice to begin with.
Oh yeah. And
but honestly, I haven't really not had many bad experiences with anybody.
Have you not?
No, only really one that I really remember. Wasn't on the podcast. It was at a convention.
Oh really?
Yeah.
I've had plenty at the convention stuff where, because if you think about it, and now I kind of chalk it up as like if I have a bad experience with somebody, maybe they're just having a bad day that day or right. something. Even if somebody's like telling me like there's a certain person, and I'm not going to say his name, but there's a certain person that everybody says is just a real jerk at conventions. Yeah. But I've had nothing but pretty decent, you know, like.
Yeah, no, I know a lot of people like that. I'll say names. Tom Savini, a lot of people say bad things about, but he's always been nice to me.
That's who I was talking about, actually. Okay.
Yeah, I thought maybe it was, because people always say, like, I think a lot of it's just his sense of humor, and I don't know, I've never had a bad experience with him, so I mean, I can't speak for everybody. You should, you know, go by how people treat you, but he's always been cool to me, and
yeah, I know, I mean, like, I've heard stories, Hansen, but from
some
different people
had
but
bad experience with Gunnar Hansen, but he was always very nice to me, so.
I've heard nothing but good things about Gunnar Hansen, so I'd be surprised to hear that he, you know, bad things about him. But you know, it's you have to chalk it up to like everybody has a bad day. Everybody's human. I remember I ran into Tracy Lords, and I thought, you know, she felt like it looked like she was kind of more. On the, you know, it was a business for her being there,
right,
you know,
right.
So like she didn't want to like talk, you know,
yeah,
she wants, yeah. you know, kind of thing, which kind of was okay then, but now if I came up to her, I'd be gushing about Melrose Place because I just watched her on right. that. And, you know,
talking about Sid, I think that's why he did so well at the convention, because he's a super personable guy. He never raised his prices. He talked to everybody, take a free picture with you. And so, you know, just having around, you know, made a good atmosphere for the convention. So then you would go up to him even if you've already met him before. And, you know, and even if you already have an autograph of him, you get another one because, you know, he's only charging $10 or whatever.
Exactly. And he was always just super nice. Like, used to be a staple at Scares That Care, because him and Kane Hodder, I think, were like the first people to like help out with Scares That Care, the charity. So they always like invited both of them back all the, you know? So they were like the only ones who like returned all the time, you know, pretty much of the big guests. And so I'd see, and I lived in Williamsburg, so I mean, there's no excuse for me not to go to those conventions, you know? And I would run into Sid all the time. And it's sad because I think this might be the first year that Sid is not at the convention when they have it.
Yeah, since I've been doing I've never been to Scares That Care, and I know, now the name forgets me, but I know the man who runs Scares That Care.
Met him, Joe Ripple.
Yeah, Joe Ripple. You know, I just met him at my last convention. Met him many times, but I've never been to his actual convention. But Sid Haig is such a big loss to the conventions, because he'd be at all of them. And he's such a big personality, and he'd also be at all the after parties, which really adds to the show. Because there's a lot of people, you know, even some quote unquote big names, but if they're not interacting with everybody, it's not the same vibe for the convention. Sid really added to the whole feel of the show.
Yeah, well, one of the guests that I absolutely adored when I met him. And I haven't seen him at another convention since he was at Scares That Care. And now I think he's maybe getting too big of a name again for himself, but was Lachlan Monroe.
Okay. Yeah.
Who I loved from Dead Man on Campus the most. So him and I chatted for like forever. And he was just, I mean, he memorized, like, it's weird when you see these people at the conventions, if they remember your name, you know, it's such a small thing that really means a lot to the fans. You know, if you see that person, they pass by again, and you're like, oh, if somebody was like, hey, Neil, you know, how are you doing? Blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Like, that makes you want to go, you know what? I want to support this guy even more, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
So I'm guessing you like, okay. So do you do a lot of the podcasts at the conventions?
Not so much the live. I've done live podcasts at the conventions, but usually I would just record like video interviews, and I've also used to host a lot of, well, I guess I still do host panels or moderate the panels at some of the conventions.
Yeah, I absolutely love those. I love the panels. I think the panels definitely help raise awareness to whatever that is, like if whether it's podcasting panels or even the panels of the guests there, you know, because that's a way for people to have Q&A with the actors and everybody.
Oh yeah. Yeah. When Days of the Dead started, they asked Without Your Head to be the podcast for the convention. And then for the first several shows, I moderated all the panels for Days of the Dead. And then I did some for some other conventions after that.
Are you going to the Las Vegas one?
No, I don't have any affiliation anymore with Days of the Dead.
Oh, sorry.
That's fine. That's totally fine.
I was planning to go to that. I guess now that it's got changed. So that was the only reason I was asking.
Yeah, it's changed twice, I believe. I think it was changed to June, and now I think they changed it to October, but who knows when any of the conventions will start again. It really depends on how things, you know,
go
progress.
Yeah, well, that's the crazy thing about this right now that's going on in the world is that, like, I've never seen Disneyland shut down, you know, like, you know, shit's in trouble when Disneyland shuts down. So, right. You know, yeah. Disneyland's like, we're going to keep open as long as we possibly can, you know?
Yeah, it's a weird time. It's a good time to do podcasts because a lot of people have time to kill. And also, that's kind of a joke answer, but I also think it gives a lot of people out there something to do, something to listen to, get away from the worries of the world. If you have some content out there for people to sit down and listen to for however long you do it for, half hour, an hour, hours, whatever it is.
Yeah. Well, that's the funny thing is like I started doing this Indie Corner Radio, bringing it back because as I said, the Independent Corner Radio show was 2006 and I stopped in 2016. And then, you know, I did 10 years and I was like, 10 years is good enough. But I was planning to bring it back in 2017, you know? Mm-hmm. And I did for like a little bit. But then like just other shit got in the way and I wasn't able to do that. But then I was like, you know what? I'm on Indie Film Cafe. We need some more content. I want to, now that a lot of people are, you know, kind of still at home and everything. And I'm not doing anything. Might as well ask. And then it's funny if you just post things on Facebook and you have like a good amount of friends that are in this industry, they will hit you up, you know, and ask to come on and promote stuff.
Everyone always has something to talk about, promote. And right now, people, like I said, people, they're bored at home, so might as well come on and talk about something.
Exactly. And I love it. I think this is wonderful. I love to listen to podcasts. I would get upset if people were like, oh, we're stuck at home, so we can't do a podcast, you know? Uh-huh. Like, Zoom has been giving opportunities for people like myself to reach out to people who I haven't been able to talk to, you know? So, yeah. I love it.
Yeah. I downloaded Zoom just for this interview.
Oh, well, there you go. Zoom just got another, like, I feel like I'm helping them out. They should start sponsoring me.
Right. You know? If they asked me, I'll say it's because of this interview.
Okay, good. Jonathan. If they ask you, I don't think they do that, but, you know, you never know.
Never knew, right. Like, Nasty Neil finally got on here.
Exactly. So how do you usually do your podcast?
I use Skype to record the audios. We are going to start doing some video shows soon. I'm not positive. I might use Zoom since now that I have it. But we're probably going to do those on live, on YouTube Live.
Awesome.
That'll be me and Michael St. Michaels from the Greasy Strangler. And then we'll have, we'll be the host, and then we'll have just people in. It'll be a little different than the podcast with Without Your Head is usually interviews, and then we talk about stuff afterwards. Instead of just more interviews, it'll be like a group of people just talking about different subjects, kind of like a round table kind of thing. So it's kind of a work in progress. We'll see how that goes. But you Skype, you do the live show on Thursday, and then put them on podcast, and then also throughout the week, depending, you know, sometimes people can't be on the live show, so you have to, you know, record it at a different day or whatever.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the beauty of this stuff is you can record at a different day if you need to.
Right, or if they're in another time zone or, you know, in another country.
Yeah, well, especially other countries, you know. I remember when I had Brett Kelly on, he's from Canada, so I was surprised he actually called in because, you know, it costs more for people to call in to this show. But, you know, I love it. I absolutely adore everybody from everywhere, you know, if you're out there making a movie, you know, I want to see it. And so, you know, like, and I love to support the people who are out there actually doing shit, you know? I think it's very important for, people to get promoted in some way or another. We do watch movies that maybe aren't the best, movies because we do that's what our podcast is about. We like stinky movies, and we review them. And sometimes some of them are my friends' movies, you know?
That's always hard. The more I do the show and the more you like people, especially on the independent level, and then they'll send you their movie to talk about. And it's always, it's like a catch-22. It's like, well, it's cool because I want to support their movie, but then it's like, oh man, I really hope I like this movie.
And if you don't, awful. It's still easy, like, to me, because, you know, growing up doing it, like, when I first started doing it, I would get sent either screeners or I would, you know, I guess it was the time of, like, Netflix, where Netflix was actually showing.
Yeah, they have a really... They have a really bad collection of horror movies on Netflix.
Yeah, but they used to not. They used to take pretty much anything in the beginning. I remember, do you know the filmmaker Chris Siever?
No, I don't, not by name anyway.
Well, he did a movie called like Mulva, Zombie Ass Kicker, and
okay.
ton of other movies. But a lot of his films were on Netflix for a long time on the Netflix streaming when it first started. And then I guess Netflix started to get snobbish, you know.
Yeah, there's not much horror movies up there at all. And definitely not like many independent horror movies. And it's mostly like series now on Netflix.
Yeah, well, like, they're definitely changing their
series.
What was that?
Just tons of you know, TV series.
Well, they're, you know, I think they changed their like platform pretty much. Like they changed what they wanted to do with it, you know, because I think the initial thing was, you know, making, you know, remember when, I mean, and they still do it, but like not many people use it, where you would rent a DVD, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then it became streaming, and then that became way more popular, and for good reason, because you can see it now, you don't have to wait. And then, so they kind of, as I always say, Netflix killed the video store, and it's sort of.
I would actually say Blockbuster killed the video store.
Really?
But then Netflix killed Blockbuster.
Well, Blockbuster.
I would say Blockbuster put out like in my town and in many towns they put out all the independently owned video stores.
Yeah, that's kind of true. I don't know. I used to work at a video store. Video Update that later became Movie Scene. And I adored working there, you know, like I loved working there. Got fired twice, so I always claim I'm Randy from Scream, you know. You know, when he says the line or something where they said, I thought they fired your ass, and he goes, twice, you know.
right, yeah.
I could say that, but what is it? The whole point is that I loved working at a video store. I didn't work at Blockbuster. I did apply and never got approved to work at Blockbuster. I don't know what the deal was that with that. But
well, you got fired twice from the other one. Someone might have put in a bad word about you.
Maybe.
Gotta watch out for this guy.
I know. Watch out for this guy. I got fired twice. But, you know, and I'm not bragging about getting fired twice at all.
It'd be an odd thing to brag about. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like a badge of honor to get fired from a video store. Though my last firing was not an actual firing. The guy let me quit.
Oh, okay.
Just to save from, you know, whatever.
I'm not fired. I quit.
Well, no. I didn't even say that. The manager said that. He said, I'll just tell the owners that you quit, that you had too much stuff going on. And I was like, that was nice, you know, but that's what happens when you make friends with your manager and you were, you know, just fucking up on the job, you know, that happens. But the point is, like, I mean, I loved working at a small video store. I loved going to Blockbuster and renting stuff that, like, a lot of Brett's movies and stuff were there. And I remember I'd always get, like, a lot of the old Asylum movies. Because Blockbuster had, I guess, some kind of deal with them. Mm-hmm. So you could watch all of them all the time, you know?
Yeah.
And I kind of missed the video store. And now that I live in L.A., I live in Van Nuys, there's actually a video store still around in Van Nuys called Star Video. So,
nice.
If you ever get a chance to come out here or something.
Yeah, I was out in L.A. in December.
Oh, wow. What were you doing there for that?
I was making my first feature film.
Oh, wow. Holy cow. Let's talk about that.
All right. Well, that one's actually a secret. I can't talk too much about it. we made our second feature in February, and that one I can talk about. They are connected, though.
Wait a minute. So this last December and this last February, you just shot two movies?
Yes.
That was freaking awesome, dude. High five.
Thank you.
Radio high five, because that is, that's crazy.
I'm very proud.
A lot of people are able to do that in that, like, quick a time. So
this last year I got healthier and it was very productive, just in time for everything to stop.
right. You're like, now I can have a break.
Yeah, so I don't know, like, they're being edited at the moment, but I'm not exactly sure, because the original plan was to get them into festivals, but I'm not exactly sure how they'll be released or when they'll be released. But the second movie in February is The Once and Future Smash, and it's a mockumentary about two actors who played a masked killer in a 1970 slasher film, and then they are at a convention for the first time in 40 years. And we filmed that at Mad Monster Convention. They let us use the convention as a backdrop. Wow. And let me film a fake panel between the two leads. And then it's sort of not based on, but inspired by a lot of real life actors who take credit for, like, for example, like Friday 13th Part 2, you have Stephen Dash and I forget the guy's name.
Warrant and Gillette,
who both take credit for thank you very much, for Jason Voorhees in that one. You have Bill Johnson and Bob Elmore, who both take credit for Leatherface and Texas Chainsaw Massacre Part 2. So it's inspired by this, and they have a rivalry throughout the years, and this is the first time they're at a convention together. And the two leads are Bill Whedon from Sergeant Kabuki Man, and Michael St. Michaels from The Greasy Strangler.
Nice. That is awesome. But now I'm kind of disappointed that Nightmare on Elm Street 2 didn't have two Freddies.
Hmm. That's very true. But Mark Patton is involved in the movie.
Oh, very cool. I like him. I've had him as a guest on my show a few times before, and he's always just a really nice, down-to-earth
guy. I like Mark Patton a lot. Yeah. See, it paid off to be nice to people over the years, because some of the Mark Patton, John Dugan, Dan Yeager, Bill Johnson, and some other people did cameos for the movie. So it was nice that they enjoyed being on Without Your Head and decided to be in the movie.
That's great. I speaking of Nightmare on Elm Street 2, though, like, one of my biggest fanboy freakouts was having Robert Russler on my show.
Yeah, and cool.
It wasn't just from Nightmare on Elm Street 2 that I liked him. I also really love him in the movie Thrashing. So one of my favorite 80s flicks.
Yeah. I thought he was really good in the Blood Feast remake.
Oh, yes.
It was recently.
Oh, my God. That's so true. I got to interview him before then. And after I saw him in that, I was like, wow, that's he just did a great job in that.
Yeah, definitely. That's an underrated remake. Now people thought, I thought it was very good.
Yeah, and I love I want to see Rootwood, which is out now and available. Mm-hmm. And I really want to see Blind. So
I haven't seen Blind yet. I'm looking forward to that. Recently had Sarah French on and Joe Netter.
Yeah,
and
they're
very
awesome.
Nice people. Yeah. So I'm waiting to see Root. I mean Blind. But also directed by Marcel Waltz.
Did you see Rootwood?
Yeah, I've seen Rootwood. Rootwood was very good as well. The three it's basically three cast members. Sarah French, Alyssa Dowling, and Tyler Gallant, and all of them are very good. I think it's Alyssa's best performance.
That's amazing. I've known her for a long time, since like 2000, probably MySpace days. I know that. So I've always, Like, that's how I kind of view things now, is like the MySpace days or the Facebook days or whatever's going to be next.
The Friendster days. Mm-hmm. I actually never had a Friendster.
Neither did I. I didn't know anybody who had a Friendster. That's why I never had one.
No, I like to reference it, even though I've never was on it or anything.
Right. There was a Friendster. I have a LinkedIn, but don't really check it as much as I probably should.
I think I joined it once, but I don't think I'm on it. I ever have been there since. I'm not a big fan of Twitter, but I do think I probably should use it more because a lot of people like it. And I've joined Slasher recently, which I also barely ever use, but I like the idea of it.
I do too. Really, I haven't really joined it yet.
Much going on. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if I will or not.
I find that I joined all these and then I just basically post the same thing in all of them.
Right. And that's the kind of the annoying part. I feel like, and I want to talk to you about this. So my buddy and I, Paul Presenza and I, started Indie Film Cafe in 2017 as just a way to have a podcast about B-movies, right? We never really listened to movies about, like, podcasts about B-movies, but later on I discovered there's a lot, you know?
Right.
So we weren't original.
Yeah, there's no new ideas out there.
Yeah, that's true. So we were doing it, and then we kind of realized we have too many, like, social media pages because of this stuff.
Right.
And so we had like a social media intern for a little bit, somebody who was helping us with it. Then that didn't work out, and now I'm pretty much doing most of the most of it, most of the social media stuff.
It's very
mainly because he actually has a job and I don't.
Right. Yeah, it's very time consuming just to get your keep plugging your name out there, especially if you try to get it at the very minimum, get it like on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, and then like I said, you find yourself just saying the same thing. And then you think, am I annoying people? Am I just plugging my own stuff like on all these platforms?
Right.
And if the same people follow me on all these, do they need to see it this many times? But and then maybe there are people that are only on Twitter or only on Instagram. So.
That's true. There are people who are only on certain social media platforms. I feel like I've heard that a lot of people are leaving Twitter, you know, or like getting kind of, I don't know if it's bored by it or if it's just like not happy with it necessarily.
Yeah.
People
always say they're leaving Facebook, but I never see them leave Facebook. People saying I'm leaving here, but then I see them on there.
Well, those same people say they're moving to like Canada or something to get away from the American crap that's going on. And then they never do. So whatever. I don't know. I like Twitter to an extent. I'm not a big fan of Instagram for one reason, and that's just because you can't put links. You know, you can only put links in your bio.
It's really just it's very impersonal. It's not like a personal site, I think. It's basically just post a picture of something.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to really have a conversation on Instagram, I think.
Well, I think it's really good for people who don't have anything to post, like links and stuff, you know, who just want to post their pictures, right? Mm-hmm. Because, and celebrities do this all the time, like celebrities will basically just post pictures of themselves doing stuff, right? And that's nice, but like I want to learn more about these social media stuff. I think there's like classes.
I think it's hard. I think there's not a lot of interaction. It's just like, here's a picture of me.
Right. And there are actually certain times where you're supposed to, like there are certain times in the day where you are supposed to post and stuff, not like me who just posts whenever I feel like it, but
I do the same, which is usually like at 3 a.m, which probably no one is up and it's not the peak time to get the traffic, but,
I
don't pay a lot of attention to that.
Well, the worst part is, you know, I'm in Los Angeles, so I'm like on the West Coast. So if the East Coast people are asleep by like 9 o'clock our time, this time, right? Mm-hmm. So like, you know, midnight and everything. So if I really get a great idea, I'm basically talking to West Coasters by then, you know, or whatever. So, I mean, you know, it's weird to have the time change, but I kind of also like it because, it's just kind of nice to have that, you know what I mean? That time.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of people out in the West Coast.
Yeah, there is. And a lot of them are on my social media accounts. So, you know, you just got to always think about, like, if you're trying to talk to the East Coasters or you're trying to talk to the West Coasters or the Mid Coasters, you know, you just, you know, you have to decide.
Well, I think they should, if you post something, they should just wake up and read it.
Right. Like, you know, if you post something, then everybody just should go, oh, wait, I got to get up and.
Right.
Yeah. What it, yeah.
Put something on your phone. You get like an alarm, like, hey, this guy posted something. You gotta wake up and see what's going on.
That like, would be annoying.
Eat some crackers or something, but yeah.
Are you into social media, or do you just kind of use it for your?
Oh, I mean, I'm on there all the time. I Facebook's probably my favorite. I post stuff about the show, but I also just post nonsense what I'm doing throughout the day.
Right. You know,
it's a good way to keep in touch with people.
Yeah. Well, my mom's on freaking Facebook. I just think it's crazy, you know?
Yeah, my mom is too, so.
Well, she doesn't even know, like, I love her to death, but she doesn't even know how to use it, really. So, right. You know, I'll see something, like there was one time where she just posted one word. And I think she meant to post more, but she just wrote, like, she literally wrote more, and that was it. And to see all the comments was just priceless. Like, somebody said cowbell, and, you know, I hope my mom doesn't mind me saying that.
Right.
My mom's
on the Without Your Head group, and the guy who does our reviews, Jason Mitten, he just reviewed The Hunt, and he gave it, like, 4 out of 5, and my mom just replied, it sucked.
Your mom actually watches these kind of movies?
Oh yeah, that's actually how I started watching horror movies. Was my mom watched all kinds of crazy movies, and the first movie I have a memory of seeing is Night of the Living Dead when I was like 5 or 6, and she took my brother's 9 years older, so she would take him and his friends to the drive-in, and instead of having like a babysitter, she'd just bring me along. So he's like, you know, a teenager. And I'm a little kid watching, you know, these crazy horror movies. And I remember the scene where the truck blows up and the zombies start to eat them. And I'm getting upset. And she just turned to me and said, it's okay. They're having a barbecue. And then I was like, oh, okay. That's fun.
That's great. Because my mom and dad hate horror. Okay, so this is in April that we're doing this podcast, and this will be June or so by the time this comes out. But in a few days from now, Tuesday, the first like big thing that I've ever been a part of, you know, comes out on Amazon, I think. I'm pretty sure, but it's a Collision Earth done by the Asylum. And I play hopefully a small part. I hope they don't cut me out, but they might, which would suck. But it, I wouldn't be surprised because they were already cutting my lines down a lot throughout it just to get, you know, the stuff, right? But to get like everything done that day, they had to cut a lot of stuff down. But anyway, the point is that, so hopefully, a lot of people can check that out, but, I think my parents are going to watch it, you know, and stuff. And I think like that is more okay for them, you know, cause I think it's like a disaster movie kind of thing, like meteors come in and destroying Earth, you know, and people have to whatever defend it. It's not a horror film, you know?
Right.
But, you know, but it's
well, they don't want to see it just because you're in it.
Well, they did. They've seen my first film. They saw it at a screening at Scares I Care, by the way. So that was pretty cool. So you got to see it on the live screen.
Yeah, on the big screen.
And everything. And then what is it? I mean, they've seen pretty much everything I've done, but my stuff's more PG-13 anyway. I don't like a lot of gore in my movies and everything, just because that's just not me. You know, at least I know that, you know, I'm not trying to be somebody I know I'm not, you know, right. Which I feel like a lot of filmmakers do, you know, a lot of times they're trying to discover their voice. So they'll do a film that maybe they wouldn't even normally make, you know? Mm-hmm. And I feel like more filmmakers should go out and make a movie that they would want to see, you know?
Right.
I mean,
yeah, I mean, that's what I would do. That's what I've done.
Right.
And I think if you enjoy what you're doing, if you don't necessarily get rich off of it, you're still going to enjoy yourself.
Exactly. What are some of your favorite indie films to come out recently?
Recently. That's a good question. Butt Boy. It's a very weird movie. I like that a lot. Man, I have to look here. What's come out recently?
I'm not sure. Like, I'm trying.
I like Dead by Dawn. That was good. Echoes of Fear is a really good movie.
There's so much I need to see, you know, independently, and review and talk about.
I would recommend Echoes of Fear. It just came out recently on Blu-ray and DVD. It's on streaming too, and Trista Robinson is great in it. I'd recommend that. That's a very good movie, and it's not gory.
I'd recommend. There's a film that just came out on Blu-ray called Beyond the Law.
Okay.
Starring Steven Seagal.
Oh yeah, and, yeah. With Victoria De Mar in that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got actually a pretty good cast, so of people, and James Cullen Bresick directed it, and
yeah,
really really cool movie. But I really enjoyed that one, and I discovered through Twitter of all places, which that's a great place if you want to find indie films, because a lot of them have their own pages on Twitter. You know, so you add, so I added this, followed this page called, I Had a Bloody Good Time at House Harker, and I really, really enjoyed it.
Okay.
And I plan to do it for one of the episodes of Indie Film Cafe later this year. But it's fun. It's on Tubi, of all places, you know, which I'm excited. Like I love Tubi. But I'm also a little worried about their new, like, they just got acquired by Fox.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of my friends already on the independent level have said, like, it's already affected them. So that would be a real shame if they get rid of a lot of the independent horror movies or independent film in general on there. Because that's one of the best things. There's so many, you know, smaller movies that you can't really see anywhere else on Tubi. And I hope it does become a pay site or...
Well, they have said on Tubi that because somebody had written on their Twitter or something that, it's going to be, you know, now they're going to charge. And Tubi has said that they have always said that Tubi's always going to be free. So I'm guessing that's in the contract that Tubi's always going to be free.
Good.
I'm hoping that's true. I'm hoping they don't, Fox doesn't try to find a way to, because it's Fox and not Disney, you know? That owns it. So many people are like, oh no, now Disney owns Tubi, and that is absolutely not true. So Disney, because Fox, there's some parts of Fox that aren't actually owned by Disney. So the parts that aren't, Tubi did get acquired by them. However, I don't think that they're gonna, I know that they're probably not gonna do the, you know, get rid of the free thing. I am worried that they're going to get rid of all the indie stuff or the horror stuff or whatever that doesn't seem like, you know, it's going to attract people, you know, and do what Netflix did, you know, which was get rid of all those things and just start making their own content or something, you know, which,
right.
I mean, is not a terrible thing to make your own content, but it's terrible when, you know, you're cutting out like other people who, you know, deserve a cool platform.
Yeah, because definitely that's what attracted me to Tubi is all the independent movies on there. That like it's good to have a home for these things that you don't really you don't get a chance to see those in other places. Well, they have a really good collection of stuff that you don't see everywhere.
Well, I did just interview Fred Olen Ray today, and he was talking about he's got a like a Roku channel, you know. That he's that the retro media Roku channel that has like a lot of movies on it. So I didn't know that, you know. Mm-hmm. So now I haven't even added it back to added it on my Roku listing yet. But I'm interested in that. Like I love that. Like that there's so many different horror channels, you know, and not all of them show the same movies, you know.
Yeah. There's It's an interesting time. There's so many platforms out there. They all, you know, offer something different. I'm a big fan of Shudder. It's getting to be a point, though, if everyone, like, has their own streaming site, there's getting to a point where well, it is already this way. You have to kind of pick and choose which ones you want.
Well, yeah, because, and you know what is sad is, like, I have so many, you know, I have Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, Full Moon Streaming, you know, Shudder, all these different sites. And still sometimes I can't figure out what I want to watch.
Oh, yeah. It's weird because like you mentioned video stores and you go to the video store and you'd look at the covers and you'd always find something you want to watch. But now when you have the choices of like almost limitless choices, it makes it even harder for some reason.
Well, and a lot of people for the longest time, they were doing this thing where they would ask for movies that started with A, B, or C, right? And that's because like iTunes had a selection where it was alphabetical, you know.
Yeah, a lot of the things like Redbox and which I think they've changed because of that reason. Everyone was trying to. I suggested to a lot of people for a while. I was like, just call yourself Aardvark,
right?
Because you have a double A and you're always going to be at the top.
Exactly. That's a good, or just call it double A, you know, A.
Aardvark Island, or whatever Island. It is, just replace it with Aardvark.
Exactly. You know, I was at the hand of like, I love watching these independent films, but like, I wouldn't want everybody to just be A, B, or C, you know,
because that
just like limits you, you know, from creating a really cool title, you know. If everybody is blood this or catastrophic.
Well, a lot of them, because I go to a lot of festivals and a lot of movies, when they get distribution, the distributor changes the name.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them will change the cover art too. And I don't always think for the better because I see a lot of cool poster art and then they change it to really more generic stuff. I guess they assume this is going to attract more people, but I think they lose a lot of creativity that way.
So for the longest time, I had Scary Story Slumber Party that I was selling on DVD myself, right?
Uh-huh.
And I had the poster art that I made that had like the ladies in it or whatever, Slumber Party girls. And one of the Slumber Party girls hated the picture, you know, but it was like the best one we had, right? So then later on, I showed her the one that the distributor did, which is, I mean, it was sort of generic, you know, but I liked it. It served its purpose, you know. It's just, I didn't like it because it didn't show a slumber party at all, you know, like it didn't feel like a slumber party thing. It was a ghost, you know, but I... You know, I was like, yeah, well, if that's what you guys are gonna do, you know, I'll give it to you. But so, and she loved that one instead because it didn't have her on.
No, right.
You know, so sometimes I guess people, you know, especially actors, they're a little bit more picky because you know if their face is like the face of the thing, they're, you know,
right.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, I even had I won't say who, but there was a guest because originally on the site. All the avatars, all the banners were hand-drawn by my brother. But then when we started to do a lot of shows, it was too much for him to draw everybody every week. But one of the guests complained because he said that he drew him with less hair than he really had, and he looked more bald than he did. And the guy was actually—I think actually my brother gave more hair than he actually. I think he was in denial about his thinning hair.
Sounds like me. I'm going bald in the top of my head, and I hate it.
You shave it.
Well, no, I don't like it just because, you know, I'm a guy who likes my hair, you know, like I'm happy with my hair. So if I'm losing it, I'm not happy with that, but.
You can get a cool hat.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. Like if you notice a lot of, people on like YouTube and stuff, like hosts of TV shows, not going to mention any names, but there are some people that wear hats specifically to cover that up.
That would be me.
That be you?
Almost all my pictures are with a hat on.
Well, I did that once, and then my brother got mad at me because I wore the same kind of hat he wore. So
I see.
Yeah, he was not happy with that, and so now I have to change the hat if I ever wear another one. I like spiking my hair up, you know. So it's kind of a bummer, but in the same sense, it's the top of my head. So I think it still works right now until things go completely, you know, bald. Right. But yeah, so whatever.
Can't give it like a big spiked mohawk.
Right. Well, no, I do a faux hawk, you know.
Faux hawk. All right.
Yeah, faux hawk. I enjoy those. I'm actually happy because the place that I'm living in right now has a barbershop like literally across the street. However, if I need it right now, nothing I can do because they're not essential.
Right. Yeah, that's very true. I've noticed there's like people have been putting up like petitions to get barbershops open and nothing gets that. I wish, you know, everyone, no, I don't want to see anyone go to business or anything, but I do think there's probably more important things that need to be opened or important things that you can make a petition for than opening up a beauty salon or barbershop.
Well, it does make sense though. Everybody does need to get their hair cut at some point. Otherwise they're going to be.
Yeah, I cut my hair for the first time myself. During the.
Really? How did that turn out?
I think it was fine, but I don't know. I mean,
nobody said anything.
No one said anything, bad, but they probably wouldn't.
Most people, unless you're like Sheldon from Big Bang Theory, generally aren't rude, you know, about that stuff. They understand social comments, you know.
Yes.
Being polite.
Right.
But yeah. So what's next for you? Like, what have you been up to? Like you said, you've got a couple movies that you worked on. You're doing your podcast. I mean, are you? And how many podcasts do you do right now?
Three. But so next is to actually, we're working on a site that will just be the home for all of them. Every week I do In Your Head, which is a wrestling podcast on Tuesday, and Without Your Head on Thursdays. I also do Inside Your Head. So you got a head theme here. And that's basically just things that don't fit in the other ones. So we've had like David Hasselhoff on there.
What, really?
Yeah, David Hasselhoff, Larry Holmes.
Did you ask him about Germany?
Yeah, it was, the whole interview was about this weird book. It's like it's true, but it's not true. It's a book about David Hasselhoff tearing down the Berlin Wall. It's a very bizarre book that he wrote. He's like an undercover spy while he's like in Germany doing a concert, and he's really there to tear down the Berlin Wall. It's very bizarre, but I it's great at the same time. So that's a very strange interview, but very fun. So that's just all the oddball stuff that don't fit anywhere else. I do that on Inside Your Head.
Well, I saw a movie because with
sometimes
him.
Sometimes I'll have people that aren't horror related on Without Your Head, and some people would get upset. They're like, this guy's not a horror movie guest. I'm like, okay, but.
I don't know
what difference it makes, but
yeah, I guess. Well, I do want to ask about that because you ever seen that movie? Because I bought a movie from like the Dollar Tree that he was in. I think it was called Killing David Hasselhoff or something.
I've not seen that, but I would like to see it just by the title.
Yeah, I think it was called that. It was something like that. It had David Hasselhoff in the title. And obviously it starred him, you know. And right. Everything.
Yeah, it'd be weird if he wasn't in it. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I think there was a movie at one point about something like with somebody's name in it, and it never actually had them in it. It was like,
oh, really?
Person stalking the big famous mm-hmm. actor, but it never actually had footage of them.
Right, because it'd be weird, like being John Malkovich, and it starred, you know, Jeff Goldblum or something.
Right, and yeah. That's who, I mean, wasn't John Malkovich. Like, it was actually, you know, inside Jeff Goldblum's head, which should right. be, there should be a sequel.
That'd be pretty sweet.
Being Jeff Goldblum, I'd love to see that. I know he has a show on Disney Plus, another streaming set I actually really like, you know. I just wish they'd have more old school content, like the Magical World of Disney stuff, right. you know, and things like that. But I think
yeah, they have such a big library.
Yeah, they do. I was surprised to see that they had like Boy Meets World on there, because even though I know they kind of owned ABC, you know, I would have figured that ABC wouldn't give them the, you know, or whatever, they wouldn't have the streaming rights for ABC streaming or something, you know. Too many streaming.
Maybe eventually. Sites. Yeah. That's what they're going to keep splintering, where they become so precise where, you know, every network or every studio will have their own.
Well, I think that's the way they have to go, unfortunately, because and it sucks because, like, I tried to CBS All Access. I did their, like, 1 week free, you know, thing to check it out. And I honestly was not impressed by their library yet. So I'm going to wait a couple, you know, maybe a year or something, you know what I mean, where they start building their library up, you know?
Right.
Because I feel like right now it's not that good. I don't know. Mm-hmm. If audience members are listening to this, I actually like CBS All Access. I'm sorry. But I know a lot of people wanted it for that Picard show and the new Twilight Zone, which I was unimpressed with, honestly.
Yeah, I've not seen. I just saw the free episode that was on YouTube, and it was fine. It didn't blow me away. It was kind of,
I think that was the pilot, right?
Fine. Yeah, the one with the comedian.
Yes, that was the one I watched, and I was like, this is just like, it had.
And I heard that's one of the better ones, so which makes me worried about the rest.
Yeah. That's see, the problem with that is there's so many great anthology shows on like Netflix and other things that are better nowadays, you know. What was that? There was that that one that did the basically was another Twilight Zone show that was on Netflix. Black Mirror. It got a lot of attention. I tried watching the first episode and hated it. And then I've heard that is like a hard episode to watch for the first one.
It definitely is. I think that's that kind of, if you can get, if that appeals to you, or if that gets, you know, or if that turns you off, you're probably not going to like the series, because the series can be pretty hard.
Good to know, because yeah, that turned me off. I didn't like it. And I was like, if the whole series is like this, I'm not gonna dig it. But you know, it is what it is. I mean, I feel like horror and, you know, anthologies like this, like I actually do like American Horror Story. And I'm excited for more stuff of what they're doing with it. You know, they're doing a new season coming up next year, right?
Yeah, I think it's been renewed for a few seasons. So I don't know what the next, I know last one was 80 Slashers, but I'm not sure what the next season is. But I like that idea where instead of each episode is its own standalone show, like the Twilight Zone anthologies, each season is, you know, one story arc.
Right. Which is kind of is an interesting way to do it, because that doesn't happen as much. It's usually each episode is a standalone episode and not right. like the whole season is its own standalone season. But I really like, you know, I enjoy all of the old school ones, but my favorite my favorite so far, period, has been the first season, the Haunted House one. So ever since then, it's been tough because, like, that's kind of hard to beat, you know? I don't know if you like Asylum better or
I personally was an Asylum fan. That was my favorite. No, Asylum was good. No, my personal favorite was what was it called? The Carnival one.
Oh, Freak Show or something?
Freak Show, yeah. I personally liked that one.
Yeah, I enjoyed that one too.
With Twisty the Clown.
Twisty the Clown. Actually, one of my friends from Virginia, I believe his like Twisty the Clown is his cousin-in-law, I guess. Something like
that.
Really? It's like his wife's cousin, you know, or something.
Oh, that's interesting.
And so he actually, that guy, I forgot his name, actually came to their wedding, you know.
Oh, really? And
yeah. And he comes that's over cool. and hangs out with them every now and then. And I'm like, I'm kind of jealous. I never right. get invited to go hang out with him. But I, you know, he was, because his wife was like, oh, you're moving to LA, and told her where. She was like, oh my God, that's where he lives. You know, let me know, blah, 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 you know. And I was like, that's really cool. That's neat. If I ever run into him, that'd be awesome. You know? But he doesn't look like Twisty the Clown all the time.
Really? Thank well, that, God. That's a shame.
Thank God. That would freak
It'd be
me out.
Weird if that's why that's where the character came from. It was just this guy.
Yeah, like he didn't have to put makeup on. He
just right.
Wakes up every day yes, looking dude. Like Twisty the Clown. Uh-huh. I don't think anybody does that.
no. Well, honestly, Dead by Dawn, a recent independent horror movie. When I was doing the interviews for it, they said that the one character, because he plays a clown real briefly in the movie, and they said that it was like a clown suit that he had in his closet.
Oh,
and it's a real creepy clown. So I was very, kind of worried about this guy.
You know, he just has a creepy clown suit in his, yeah. you know, yeah, that he just wears.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
that's what two people told me, the same story. So I was like, must be true.
Must be true. I mean, maybe, you know, if you gotta talk to him about that.
Uh-huh.
And next time you get a chance to interview, if you get a chance to interview him, ask him. You know, ask him about it, and then
yeah,
you know,
maybe just spreading this rumor about this movie.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want any rumors. Is this true?
Right.
Yeah. And then if he's like, yeah, man, I just have it in my closet.
Well, I'll have to get him on Zoom. Maybe he'll just do the interview with the clown makeup on.
Yes, that would be awesome. Well, maybe it's not even clown makeup, right? It's a mask, right? Then
For Twisty, yeah, yeah, it's like the half mask.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, very cool. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show tonight.
Well, thank you for chatting
with me. I'm excited about all the stuff that you're doing. I always look out for your guests, you know, because sometimes, like, you had Joe and you had Sarah, but you've had, like, a lot of people, period, like, throughout the time. So before I go, I did want to mention one thing to you. So I love that you have huge guests, you know, that come on, and you had Sid to begin with. So mm-hmm. that's awesome. I did want to ask real quick. So who's been like the biggest guest, right?
The biggest
and have you ever tried somebody like even bigger than you normally can get and not?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I've tried a lot of cause the worst you're going to get is no.
Right.
So, you know, what is that going to hurt? I've tried to get John Carpenter on the show. I actually almost had Wes Craven on the show. His secretary called the house and stuff. It didn't end up happening, obviously. But Clive Barker was interested, but he was not doing very well health wise at the time when we did Hellraiser Month. But the biggest guest, let's see, Malcolm McDowell's been on. That's going to be pretty big, I would think. Kane Hodder. That's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think all those would be pretty. Joe Bob Briggs is pretty big. I guess those are probably the bigger ones. For me personally, it was very cool to have Ben Chapman on the show, who played the creature from the Black Lagoon. Not necessarily the biggest, you know, name wise, but for me, having, you know, one of the last connections to Universal monster movies was very cool.
I'll tell you a story real quick, and then we'll probably end it in a second. But I tried to get Bob Saget on my show.
Oh, really?
This was early in my career. I guess my big head thought, you know, why not reach for the stars and try somebody who most likely not come on the show. But I remember I was at my job, you know, and I was trying to find somebody. This was 2007 or 8-ish, right? So I go and I IMDb Pro, and I look up his manager's number, right? So I'm thinking, oh man, all right, I'll get his manager's assistant or something, and then maybe see what I can do, right? And this guy answers the phone, just like, hello, you know? And usually, if you contact their managers, it's like, hello, welcome to something agency. How can I help? You know, right? It's never usually like, hello, right? So I'm like, hi, I'm Jonathan Moody. I'm trying to get Bob Saget on my show. You know, would he be interested? And the guy goes, how did you get my number? And he was driving, apparently, at the time, right?
Oh, okay.
And so it was somebody's cell phone. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I got it from IMDb Pro. And they're like, you have to email me, and then I would talk to Bob, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see an email address on the IMDb Pro, you know, right? Mm-hmm. And he was like, here's my email address, and never call me again. And then hung up on me. So of course I did send him. I sent him an email, and never got word back. And then talked to that guy again. I don't know if that's still his manager or not. You know, but this was pre Entourage too, I guess, like or whatever, like around the Entourage times. So like later on, I heard like, you know, all the jokes about him needing new management. That might be the reason.
It might be something, you know, connected there, if that was how the guy treated everybody.
Yeah, maybe he treated everybody so bad that that they wanted him to leave Bob. I don't know. Whatever. I just thought it was really funny. If I ever meet Bob Saget, I'm going to ask if he ever got a ever got a message from that guy. I don't even remember his name. I think it was Jeff something. But I never chatted with that guy again. I was so embarrassed that I got his cell phone and not his actual. He should feel more embarrassed because he doesn't even have his own fucking office.
Right. Know? Yeah. He's just his cell phone driving around. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, not always the best when you have to go through middlemen.
Well, like, you have to on the bigger guess. But on those, you know, lower end for a lot of the people that we love and that we can just reach out in Facebook, you know, too. That's but amazing.
Probably the bigger, like, non-horror guest I've had would be Ed Asner and awesome. David Hasselhoff.
Yeah, David Hasselhoff. I'm so jealous, dude. I want to interview him. I don't know. I'd probably just keep asking Baywatch questions the whole time, you know?
My favorite no I got was when I asked William Shatner to come on, and immediately after I sent the email, it was like a few seconds later, I got a reply, and it was, William Shatner only does major media outlets, and major was all in caps, and it made me laugh, and it said it was from his agent, but in my mind, it was just William Shatner there at his computer. And
did you do it in his voice?
Yes, I was like, just like, you know, how dare this guy ask me to come on his podcast?
But like his answer and his voice, what is his answer was?
William Shatner only does major media outlets.
William Shatner only does major announcements, you know, podcasts, you know.
It was pretty awesome. And I was like, that doesn't seem very professional for like an agent or a manager to reply with major in all capitals. But
it was very major. Oh my God. You're such a small podcast. How dare you ask William Shatner on yours, you know? You know, if you got him, you'd have to ask about the Halloween mask, you know?
Yes, that would be good.
Which I don't think he'd be too happy with.
I recorded a panel with him at a convention, and it was really cool. And then his people wouldn't let me post it to YouTube.
Why?
I don't know. I was like, I was, you know, they told me at the convention I could record it, and I did. And then,
so
and then
you have like the footage still?
I don't know if I still have it. It was a few years ago, but I might still have it. But yeah, it was cool too, because it was a Twilight Zone panel. And so it was like him talking about stuff he does. You know, it wasn't the normal Star Trek stuff. It was actually really interesting. And I thought you actually saw a different side of him. But yeah, we weren't allowed to show bits of it or anything.
So that doesn't make any sense. Any publicity is good publicity, you know?
Yeah, like, it wasn't like he looked bad or anything. I actually thought he looked better than he mostly does, because they said he was telling different stories and hear him talk about. But
I remember I asked William Zabka if I could do a video interview with him at Scares I Care, and he said, unfortunately, he doesn't do video interviews because too many people, or like maybe it was one person or something, kind of like made him feel like, you know, treating him like a dick on it, you know? So oh, he really? Just doesn't, and then posted it and made him look really bad and everything. Mm-hmm. So he's like very careful about, you know, what doing which ones. Yeah. And I obviously he probably even knew I wouldn't have done that, you know, as a fan.
Right.
But you know, I mean, I understand, you know, like sometimes people, especially when you play a bully, you know, like in a
right.
for a popular TV show and everything, or movie, now TV show for Cobra Kai is freaking amazing. But
yeah, you know. I've not watched that actually.
I watched the first season and then watched some of the second season, like the first episode of the second season. But I can't buy, I just don't have the money for YouTube. You know, it's like $15. It's like,
right.
Dudes, if everybody just like started cutting their prices, I bet a lot more, like, you know, like Shudder's smart to only be like $5. You know?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, because I mean, there's only so much you can spend a month. You don't have unlimited money. So, and then if you get, you know, a few of these sites, you know, it starts that up, and then, you know, people stop getting cable because it's so expensive. But if you start getting all the streaming sites, it's going to get, you know, to the same thing.
You get the same thing. I think that's what's going to end up happening someday, is that it's going to become like cable, where you buy a package and you get all like Hulu, you know, all of them for one low price, you know,
right,
and everything. And then you just have like a menu option where you can go to Hulu or Netflix or, you know, like all these different sites and stuff for like $40 a month or $100 a month or something. You get everything, you know,
right.
Which I maybe will happen, you know, because I guess they have to get, somebody has to do it and get all the permission from all of them to, you know, to agree. But, you know, it is what it is. But thank you so much. I had a blast chatting with you.
I had a great time too. Thank you for asking me.
Yeah, no problem. I saw your post about, you know, you don't know what to, you know, don't know what to talk about, but,
Most stuff I post online is just silly. I'm just kidding around.
Yeah. No, I imagined it. And also I imagine that you always do have something to talk about, because there's always just something going on in the podcast world. And that's why I like to having podcast guests. I'm going to try to get more podcast hosts on the show so we can cross promote, you know, get out there some more. I want to help my fellow podcasters.
Well, I appreciate that. Now I'll plug this.
Oh, so good.
Can listen to
me. Everybody seems to be plugging, you know, when and excited.
Yeah, that's
and
always stuff. Good.
So that's always great. And that's another reason why I want to get back to doing interviews, you know, get more people to plug this stuff, you know, because if you right. just do reviews, not many people actually plug them.
That's true. You know? Yeah, unless probably if you do some new independent movies, the people who make those movies would share it.
Right, but if you do like,
but if you're doing like a, if you do, yeah, if you're doing like a B movie from the 80s or the 70s, it's probably not gonna. Besides people who just listen to it and like it, but like the people who are involved probably aren't gonna share it.
Yeah, like Hard Rock Zombies. I don't think I know anybody who actually worked on that movie. I don't know if you've ever seen it or not.
I actually had a guest from Hard Rock Zombies.
What? Who did you have?
I had E.J. Kurse.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
He's one of our first guests.
So you've seen it?
Yes. Yeah, I actually saw it for that interview because my co-host at the time is no longer with the show, John. He really liked that movie, and so I watched it. He's like, let's get E.J. Kurse on the show, and I was like, okay. And E.J. Kurse, I don't know if he still does, because this was like 12 years ago or 13 years ago, but at the time he was also a member of a No Duh cover band. That's what he did at the time. You know, this was years after the movie. A No Doubt cover band called No Duh.
Okay, we're going to have to get EJ on our show because my buddy Paul will go crazy asking questions because we had a blast watching that movie, you know, I think it was last season, so last year, and it was so bad but so fucking wonderful in the same sense. Okay. And EJ, I mean, just that Cassie song just made us all cringe and everything, just because it's a 20 to 30 something year old guy talking, you know, singing songs to an underage girl,
right?
You know,
that's not a movie a lot of people have seen or really talk about, so I'm glad you brought up Rock.
I didn't think you'd seen it, so there you go. Uh-huh. It is one of those films. I'm surprised. But EJ, if you're listening, we'll love to get you on the show, and Paul will ask you a million freaking questions. Because we just interviewed Fred Olin Ray, and he was freaking awesome, you know. I love this because now is the time right now to be able to interview people because we don't have anything else.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, exactly. And it's fun to have people on. You mentioned big guests, but it's fun to have people on from. Even just obscure movies, something that you grew up watching, and to have them on the show, I think is fun.
Exactly. All right, man. Well, thank you so much, and let's chat soon and just catch up on stuff.
All right, sounds good.
All right, man. You have a good one.
You as well. Continued success.
Okay, you too.
Thank you.
Bye.